used as he dealt with people like us. And today, we're going to dive into something that might be a little bit uncomfortable, might be a little bit confronting for us this morning. So I just wanted to warn you, and I'm going to pray for us before we get into it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you that we can learn from you. We thank you, God, that you are here with us right now. And we pray, Lord, that as we dive into something that might be a little bit confronting, might be a little bit scary, God, that you would guide us. Show us, Lord, what it is that you want us to get out of this morning. And Father, may these words be from you, God. We look forward to what you're going to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever had someone in your life who provoked deep insecurities in you. Whew. Deep breath. Perhaps it's a boss, a parent, a child of yours, a coworker. Whatever it is about this person, every time you see them, they provoke this deep insecurity in you. And perhaps it's not a person, but it's actually a situation. Maybe it's a situation that you've found yourself in that has brought up a heap of insecurity for you. And you just feel really uncomfortable. I had one such situation this year. I went to a meeting at the Baptist Union. This is funny because some of the people here were at that meeting. And I had to go, it was for Baptist pastors' peer group leaders. Basically a room full of pastors who lead other pastors. And I found myself walking into this room. Well, I kind of stopped at the door. And they have the chairs set out in a circle. Why? I don't know. You can't hide anywhere, right? And I'm walking in, and I'm maybe 5 minutes early, I think. And pretty much all the seats are filled, except for three of them. I don't know if you know this about Baptist pastors, but they like to be early to things. And I don't know why. It's really annoying. So I had this moment where I had to decide where I was going to sit in this room full of pastors. And I had three options. So I was next to a friend of mine who was deep in conversation and the only other woman in the room. There was also someone who I didn't know. And there was someone else who I was sure I was supposed to know who they were, but I had no idea who they were. Ooh. Thankfully, later they introduced themselves and they knew who I was. So that was, whew, I was saved. So I found myself standing in this doorway and I started to feel this insecurity set in. Because I'm like, what am I going to talk to? Well, what am I going to talk about with the person that I sit next to? What am I going to say to them? Like, if I sit down, I actually have to talk to the person next to me because there's nowhere to hide. And I found myself feeling really insecure about where to sit. And actually, I found myself feeling really annoyed that there was nowhere that I could sit that would go and hide at the back of the room. Does anyone else feel that way sometimes? Yeah. You know, I wonder if you've been in a situation like this, where you find yourself stopping and it's almost as if time kind of slows down as you have to kind of make this decision in the moment. Am I going to stay frozen in my insecurity or am I going to go and sit next to the random person who I don't know? I wonder if you've been confronted by your insecurities like this, whether it have been in a situation where you found yourself feeling just so insecure, or something that someone has said to you. We're all insecure in some way. We all have insecurities. And you know, insecurity is actually really complicated. I was trying to define it this week, and there are many different ways you can define it. But the reason why it's complicated is that it goes down to issues of personhood, of who I am. If I was going to try and define it in a way that might be helpful this morning, I would say that insecurity is the product of what people have said to us about us and what we have believed about ourselves because of it. Our insecurities are the false things that we believe about ourselves. And they're the things that we believe about ourselves that stop us from believing that we are all that God says we are. And our insecurities tell us that there is something fundamentally wrong with us. There is something fundamentally wrong with us. The thing about insecurity is that when we're feeling insecure, we don't feel safe, do we? We don't feel like we're in a safe place and we don't feel confident in ourselves. Insecurity brings out something within us that feels really unstable. It feels like we aren't grounded and we feel really uncertain. And something tells us that we are wrong. Something about us, something about our personhood is wrong in that moment. It tells us that we're too young, that we're too old, that we're not pretty enough, that our voice doesn't matter, that we're unlovable, and that no one cares about us. And when we're insecure, we don't operate from a healthy place, do we? We don't operate from a place that is loved. We operate from a place that is hurt. You know, since we're talking about leadership, we're talking about Jesus' leadership. One of the biggest things in leadership, perhaps the first thing they tell you when you become a leader, is that you need to have an incredible amount of self-awareness. You need to have so much self-awareness. And you, in particular, need to be aware of what your insecurities are. Because one day, someone you lead is going to come up to you and say something, and that's going to provoke something really deep inside you. Some deep insecurities. It's going to happen. And if you don't know what's going on inside of you and you don't deal with it appropriately in that moment, your response isn't going to be one of love. It's going to be one that damages the relationship, most likely. See, an insecure leader most likely won't actually last very long in leadership because they let their insecurities take them down and they start to lead out of that. They start to destroy their leadership and destroy the people that they lead. So what does that look like? What does an insecure leader look like? Well, an insecure leader is going to try and control everything. They will micromanage you. They will look over your shoulder. They will make all the decisions by themselves. And you know, they will withhold trust. They will rule with fear instead of lead with empowerment. And what they'll do is they will take all the credit for all the good ideas and blame everyone else when it goes badly. Have you ever known a leader like this? Great. Yes, keep it coming. Yeah, that's another thing that insecurity does to us. It actually lets us blame other people for what's going on inside of us. It lets me blame the person who is saying the thing to me that is provoking that insecurity in me for the reaction that I'm having. And it actually tries to find a flaw in them that explains why I'm having this reaction. And, you know, more often than not, that person or that situation, of course, has absolutely no idea that that's going on inside of you. Maybe they do. Maybe they're provoking it on purpose and they're just not a very nice person. But more than likely, they've got no idea about the insecurity that they're provoking inside of you. But what we do in that moment is we try and project it onto them. We try and blame them for what's going on inside of us. And an insecure leader will be like that. They will blame. They will micromanage. An insecure leader needs to assert their authority at every point, at every chance that they get. They need everyone to know that they are the best person in the room. And everyone needs to look at them. You know, sometimes they actually go the opposite way. And they don't actually do anything. They let others walk all over them to the point that no one actually knows what they stand for because they're so busy trying to please other people. Let me tell you, if you want to be a leader and you want to be a people pleaser, it doesn't work. You can't do both. There comes a point where you have to make the decision. But insecure leaders avoid making decisions just in case it upsets somebody. And then nobody knows what they stand for. You know, there are so many things that make someone insecure as a leader. And unfortunately, there's actually so many insecure leaders out there. So who was a secure leader? Well, Jesus. Jesus was a really secure leader. No surprises there. Jesus' calling and his purpose came directly from God. It came straight from him. You know, we're going to spend most of our time in Mark chapter 10 today, if you want to turn with me there on your devices. It's going to be on the screen as well. But first of all, we're going to take a little detour through Mark chapter 1. So in Jesus' ministry, we see in Mark 1 in particular, we see him getting baptized and the heavens tear open. And what does God say? He says, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." This is where he gets his mandate from. This is where Jesus' life, this is what happens. This is what his life is going to become about now. And everything that he does comes out of this. His security comes out of this. God showing him and everyone else around him that this is why he's here. And a little bit further on in verses 21 to 22 in Mark 1, Jesus starts to teach in the synagogue. He gets invited every so often. Let's read it. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. He taught with such authority that the people were amazed. Because his authority came from God. His authority and his mandate came directly from God. And the religious teachers of the day didn't have that. They were more concerned with knowledge than authority. And you know, the best thing is that everyone can see this. They can see the authority that Jesus is presenting here. They can see it, and it makes them want to follow him. You know, Jesus' security comes directly from God. And you might say that it's actually kind of helps that he's literally God at the same time. But Jesus was still human. He still came to earth like us. He still had his revelation moment when he was getting baptized. He still had the calling of God placed upon his life. And he still had the chance to choose whether he was going to operate out of that security or not. But you know, he didn't let his humanity shake his security. He didn't let it. Because his authority and his security was in God. And that's what set him apart from everyone else. But while Jesus was really secure, he's the most secure leader that's probably ever lived, definitely ever lived, he was surrounded by really insecure people. They're called disciples. Jesus' disciples are some of the most interesting people, I think. Because Thomas doubted him, Peter denied him 3 times, and Judas betrayed him. You might say that Jesus needs better friends. Because, like, I wouldn't choose them, just saying. Let's look at Mark 10, where we find out some more about some of his closest disciples, James and John. Mark 10, we're starting from verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. That's Jesus. They said, "Teacher, we want you to do us a favor." "What is your request?" he asked. Can you imagine how Jesus is answering this, by the way? "Yes, what's your request?" They replied, "When you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and one on your left." Let's pause there. It's really interesting to me why they're asking this question. Why do you think they're asking this question? Maybe because they're idiots? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe because they're a little bit selfish and they want to know where their place is and where they sit in the kingdom, where they sit in the disciples even. They're trying to assert their authority there. And why is this? Well, it's because they're insecure, isn't it? It's because they really want to know that they are enough. They want to know that while they are there following Jesus, they've got something great to look forward to and that they are enough. So actually, they're just trying to solidify their place in the kingdom because they're feeling really insecure about this place they have right now. And they actually just really want reassurance, don't they? Let's go to verses 38 and 39. Jesus' response. But Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering that I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with?" "Oh yes," they replied, "we are able." Let's pause there. This is a bit of a puff up the chest moment, isn't it? "Oh yeah, we're able. I can do this, Jesus. Suffering, what are you talking about? I can do that in my sleep. Honestly, do you not know who I am? I am James, the son of Zebedee. Honestly, I can do what you can do." That's what it feels like, right? They're so eager to prove who they are that they actually place themselves at the same level as Jesus. Can you imagine what Jesus is thinking while they're asking him this? Can you imagine? He's thinking about what he has to go through. He knows, at this point, only he knows what he has to go through. He knows that he's about to go to the cross and he's about to die. I think Jesus must have been one of the most patient people who's ever lived to have people ask him questions like this and respond in this way. But what's really interesting here is that he actually gives them a glimpse of their future. He doesn't leave them hanging. What does he say in that second part there? Then Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering." Whoa. I don't think that's what they were expecting him to say when they asked this. I don't think that they would have expected that. I think they got a little bit more than what they bargained for there. And they certainly did, actually, when we see what the other disciples' reaction is. What did they do? Let's jump down to verse 41. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Indignant, isn't that a great word? To be indignant means to feel angry or annoyed at what is perceived as unfair treatment. So I imagine the disciples might have been thinking, how dare they ask this? How dare they ask this and try and go above our heads to try and get their places above us? How dare they? Do they not know who Jesus is? Do they not know what their place is? They can't ask that. And I wonder if maybe they were feeling that way, perhaps for one of two reasons. I think that maybe some of them wanted to ask the question themselves. Maybe they were a bit like, damn, I wish I'd asked that question. I wish I'd got in first. I wish I could have been in that position. Because maybe they were unsure of their place as well. Or maybe they were feeling that way because they would never dare ask that question. They're like, oh no. I would never ask Jesus that. I would never want to be at his right or his left because I'm not worthy. It's like this. Are you the person who asks for the upgrade at the airport? Or are you the person who's too embarrassed to ask? It's like that. But the thing is that they're all insecure. They're all coming from a place of insecurity. James and John and the rest of the disciples all just want to know what their place is. They just want to know where they sit with Jesus. And they're feeling insecure about this, so they ask. You know, I'm willing to bet that they didn't even know that this is what they were asking. Because, you know, Jesus does that thing that Jesus does. And he answers the question that they don't know they're asking. Doesn't he do that all the time? Thanks, Jesus. In verses 42 and 40 to 45. So Jesus called them together and he said this. You know that the rulers in the world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over all those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Whew. Ouch. If you're one of the disciples right now, you're going, oh, okay, you've realized. And Jesus knows. He's telling them that you've got it all wrong. And he flips it over on them in true Jesus fashion, because that's what he likes to do. But I want to ask us this morning, where are you operating from? Are you like the disciples? Are you operating from a place of insecurity? Or are you operating from a place of security like Jesus? Are you wondering this morning if you are enough? Do you find yourself thinking that you're less than? That you're unworthy? Do you find yourself stuck in situations where you feel so insecure, you just want to run away? Are you aware of what your insecurities are? We all carry them. But the difference between Jesus and his disciples is that Jesus knows without a shadow of a doubt where his security comes from and where his authority comes from. He knows. In fact, he makes it clear in verse 40 of Mark chapter 10. He says, "But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen." Jesus is so secure in his place that he knows that that's not his decision and he's okay with it. He says, that's God's decision, but this is what I can do now. See, Jesus couldn't do anything without God. He couldn't get anything done without him. Without that first encounter with him at his baptism, we don't know what Jesus' ministry would have looked like. But even Jesus needed God to be with him, especially in times of deep pain before he goes to the cross. And he's praying and he's literally sweating blood. He goes to God. He goes to God. And there are plenty of times in his ministry where he goes away and he prays because he knows that he needs God. And he even needs God to replenish him and to be his security in everything that he does. See, Jesus's core, and his very core, needed to be rooted in God so that he could do what he did. You may not know that Jesus's ministry was only 3 years long, and yet we have this whole New Testament. We have the Gospels. It's all based on his life and his ministry, which was only 3 years long. But that impact is because of the security that he had. You know, this is perhaps the most important tool that Jesus has in his paint box. This is, out of this, everything else flows. This is what he uses every time he does ministry with anyone. Because he knows that he needs God. And it's the same way for us. It's the same for us. In order for us to be free from our insecurities, we actually need God to come in and take those and transform those. We need him to show us who we really are. Because we're human. Because we haven't had perfect lives. People aren't always super nice to us. We live on earth where it's difficult. And God has placed us here. But he's placed us here so that we can take our security from him. And he offers it to us. You know, we can't actually achieve any form of security without God. For that very reason. Because while our insecurities tell us that there is something fundamentally wrong with us, God tells us who we fundamentally are in him. And where our insecurities stop us from believing that we are all God says we are. God opens the door for us, and he opens it for us to step into his security. But I've got a little bit of bad news, because as long as we're human, we're going to feel insecure, right? As long as we're on this earth, we're going to feel insecure. We will have moments where we feel like we're not good enough. We'll have moments where we feel so insecure that we just want to run away and hide. We will have moments where our insecurity will threaten our very identity in God. But the only way that we can get out of that insecurity and start to operate out of God's security is with him, is with God. And to start to believe we are who God says that we are. So, who does God say we are then? If we're meant to believe who God says we are, then we should know who God says we are, shouldn't we? Let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. He called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. God says that we are chosen. He says that we are chosen by him, that we are his very own possession. You know what that means? Is that you belong. You belong with God. You belong and you are enough. You are worthy of being loved by him. And you have received his mercy. Maybe you're sitting there and it's really actually quite hard for you to hear these words. It's quite hard for you to accept them for yourself because of what other people have told you, because of what life has told you about yourself. You know, maybe life's told you that you are too old, you're too young, you don't have enough experience, you don't have the right personality, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough. Here's where the insecurity starts to creep in. When we hear words like this that say things like we are chosen and that God has given us an identity together. Our insecurity starts to creep in and it says, that might be good for you, but it's not me. It's not me. Because I am this, I am this, I am this. Whatever it might be. That's why the last bit of that verse is so important. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. God gives us mercy. Because it's actually not a, now I'm going to operate in the security of God and everything's going to be great. No, it's actually a journey. It's actually a decision in that moment when you're feeling so insecure you can't walk in the room to say, actually, no, I am God's child. I have something to offer here. And I'm going to step into that instead. And God gives us mercy because we're not going to choose that every time. We're going to try, but we're not going to be able to choose it every time. That's why we need God's mercy. We need him to keep reminding us who we are, to keep showing us who we are in him, that we have an identity as his people, as his children. But it's a moment-by-moment decision. To believe and hear what God says about us louder than what our insecurities are shouting at us inside. To believe what he says about us louder than our insecurities. I want to read that verse again, just 1 Peter. And as you're sitting there, I want you to just receive these words. Maybe you'd like to close your eyes, but I believe these words are for you this morning. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. You belong. You belong. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of his dark, out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have God's mercy. Let's choose to believe that. Let's choose to hear that louder than our insecurities. Our insecurities will always be there, but God will too. God will too. And he wants you to know that you are chosen, that you matter, that you are here for a reason, that your voice matters. And he wants you to know that those insecurities you feel, he's going to come in and take them away. Can I pray for us? God, we are so grateful that we have you. Father, we are so grateful that you call us yours, that you call us chosen, that you have given us this opportunity, God, to spend our lives with you, and that we don't have to sit in our insecurities, God. I pray, Father, for the courage in the moments where we feel so insecure to believe what you say louder than that insecurity. God, I pray that you will continue to show us who we are in you. And Lord, that you will give us the strength to choose that over what our insecurities tell us. For any of you who are feeling like this is something that's brought something big out for you this morning, I just want you to receive this morning what God says about you. That you are his, that you have purpose, that you are loved unconditionally. There are no conditions to the way that he loves you. Father, I pray for those who have deep hurts, who have been deeply hurt by people, by situations, God. Lord, that you would come in right now, in this moment, right now, and show them who they really are. Show them once again, God, that they are yours. God, maybe even for the first time. Lord, I pray against those things that we've believed about ourselves that tell us that we aren't good enough, that we aren't worthy, that we aren't yours. I pray against those, God, and I pray that right now, God, you will fill us with you. You will fill us with your identity, Father. And we choose your identity this morning for us. We choose that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you call us yours. We step into that this morning. Amen. Why don't we stand together? We're going to sing together that bridge. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Why don't we sing this out together loudly?